Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. When we left off last time, we were in the middle of a brief review of what we have learned in the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 28 thus far. I remind you of this before we proceed to the end of this verse very soon. As I have also said, if you want to listen to the previous episodes where I taught Romans 8:28, just go to our website and on the homepage click the obvious link for the series, God Saves. The web address, godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. You can get easily caught up by clicking God Saves right on the homepage. But for those of you with no internet, or you simply do not have the time for it, here is a review. And I think it is always helpful to read Romans 8:28 first. The verse says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." First, we said the phrase, "and we know," means that Christ's people can know with absolute certainty that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God's purpose. Yes, right now we may have some uncertainty. We may be unsure of what's happening in us and to us. There is a lot we may not know. But as Christians, we are confident in hope because, as the Apostle Paul says, "and we know." We may have uncertainty in the present, but we have absolute certainty about our future. This is the confidence Jesus gives us amidst all our earthly struggles and trials. Second, the phrase rendered in the English, "those who love God," comes first in the original language of the Greek text. Greek is much clearer than English. We could translate the Greek text as, "and we know that to the ones loving God, all things work together for good." So it is at the front of Romans 8 verse 28 that we learn for whom all things work together for good. It is only to those who love God and who are called. I want you to clearly see for whom God causes all things to work together for good. That is not everybody. God only causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and who are called by Him. Related to this reality of loving God, we also spoke a few months ago about being called by God. The verse continues, "to those who love God, to those who are called." And we said that anyone who genuinely loves God does so because God has called that person to love Him. Love and calling, calling and love are forever linked. It takes God to love us and call us before we can ever love and serve Him. Now, we are going to have this matter of calling before us again, so I will not dwell on it here. After all, this is supposed to be a brief review, right? So for now, just mark it down. Anyone who genuinely loves God does so because God has called that person to love Him. This brought us, third, to what for most Christians is the most valuable part of the verse. God causes all things to work together for good. Here again, I gave extensive teaching, and I hope you will listen to that for free from our website. In summary, I emphasized that God is the one causing all things to work together for our good. This verse reveals to us again the providence of God. This speaks yet another time in Scripture to the sovereignty of God. For those who love God, who have been called by God, He is our everything. And God works in such a way, his wonders to perform, that he mysteriously pulls together all things in our lives for our good. God does this. We do not know exactly how he does this. At least I do not know. But he does. I know that he does. There is evidence for this all throughout my life and yours. It is what God does with the all things that make them work out for our good. All things are not good in and of themselves. Of course, the good things are good, and we have so many good things that happen in our lives. God is good. God is so, so good, friends. Hasn't this been your experience with the living God? But all things also includes the bad things. And these are not good. Do not make the mistake of interpreting this verse to mean that all things are good in and of themselves. Our sin is included in the all things, but our sin is evil. Sin is never good. Cancer, or another disease that intrudes upon the body and demolishes our health, is included in the all things, but these illnesses are never good. Dissolving a marriage is included in the all things, but divorce is not something to celebrate. Coming to financial ruin is included in the all things, but it should not be considered a positive development in your life and the life of your family. Having an accident that lands you in the hospital is included in the all things, but you are not lying there. Your body in traction, thinking about how good it is that this has happened to you on the road. Death is included in the all things, but death itself is a painful process in which we say goodbye to the people we love the most. You get the point. It is what God does with the all things that makes them work out for our good. So the emphasis must be on God. God causes. God pulls together all of the all things in our lives and makes them work together for our good. As one pastor put it, God is overruling everything in the whole cosmos for your good. Isn't that amazing, Christian? Even a verse like this one, which seems to put us at the center, really exalts the Lord. We like to emphasize for our good. But really, everything God does is for his glory. And we will soon talk a lot more about this. And we asked, does all things mean literally all things? And we said, yes. Yes, it does. All things is all-inclusive. The good things, the bad things, the sad things, the really great things, and the hard things. All things. We even included a discussion about our sin. Based on what the Bible says to us, for those who love God, who have been called by God for his purpose, for those who trust Jesus for salvation, for us, God sovereignly and providentially and, yes, mysteriously overrules even our sin for our good. Thinking about this verse, I told a story that I want to repeat. This captures the truth behind this part of verse 28 nicely. An old preacher said, "Here is a statement which appears contradictory. All things work together for good to them that love God. How can that be? The good things I can see are working in that direction, but look at those other things. They seem to be working in the opposite direction. How can you say that things which are working in opposite directions are for my good?" The old preacher answered by the illustration of a wristwatch. He said, "Take your watch and open it. What do you see? You see that one wheel is turning in an anti-clockwise direction, but it is attached to another wheel that is working in a clockwise direction. You look at this machinery and you say, 'This is mad. This is quite ridiculous. Here are wheels turning in opposite directions. The man who made the watch must have been a madman. But he wasn't. He has so arranged this watch and put in a main spring to govern all the wheels that when it is wound up, though one wheel turns one way and another that way, they are all working together to move the hands round the face of the watch. They appear to be in contradiction, but they are all working together to the same end. Our lives are like that. Look at life and you ask at first, what is happening? I can see that certain things are good for me, but other things seem to be all against me. But think again of the great watchmaker, God, who has planned it all. Do not jump to conclusions. Look for the ultimate purpose. Look for the ultimate end. And if you do so with a spiritual eye, you will soon begin to see that God knows what he is doing. Well, that from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that's a great analogy. The watch. With a verse like Romans 8:28, ultimately, here is the question. Do we trust God? Do you trust God with your life? Do I trust God with my life? How much do we trust him? My prayer for all of us is that we will understand what this verse means biblically and theologically, yes, but also experientially. In daily practice, we will apply what the scripture says. And even through this brief review of what we have learned thus far, may it be that we are challenged, strengthened, and encouraged by the truth of God's word to us. We are dealing here with the one true and living God and his authoritative word to us. Tomorrow we will move on in Romans 8:28. So join us then, because God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.